In the morning first service, we heard about show me your ways. Praise God. Show me the way. Deacon Daniel Akinwumi took that service. If you were not here during the first service, please meet with technical because I'm following from the foundation that he led. Praise the Lord. And our text is taken from the book of Psalms 114. Psalms 114. He only has 8 verses, so I'm reading from here. And I'm reading the New Living Translation. Verse 1. When the Israelites escaped from Egypt, when the family of Jacob left that foreign land, the land of Judah became God's sanctuary, and Israel became his kingdom. The Red Sea saw them coming and hurried out of their way. The water of Jordan turned away. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What's wrong, Red Sea, that made you hurry out of your way? What happened, Jordan River, that you turned away? Why, mountains, did you skip like rams? Why, hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. He turned the rock into a pool of water. Yes, a spring of water flowed from the solid rock. I pray today for somebody in the service this morning that every Red Sea before you will scamper away like lambs in the name of Jesus. And the same way the Lord wrought the miracle and brought water from solid rock, everything that looks infertile, that looks barren before you, today by the mercies of God will spring forth in the name of Jesus. Freshness shall come out of them in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be for you in Jesus' name. So I said our text where I read from the New Living Translation, Psalm 114, 1 to 8. 1 to 8. Waymaker God. If I should ask most of us here, we all have a name. I have a name. My name is Obianuju. Praise God. Everybody has a name. So if I ask us, what is the meaning of your name? Every name has a meaning. I'm only trying to lay the foundation. Praise God. Every name has a meaning. Regardless of whether you're American, wherever you are, people tend to give names based on situations around birth or based on family tradition. Praise God. For instance, if you go to the U.S. in the old times, when you hear people that answer Smith, it tells you that in their lineage, they have either had goldsmiths in their lineage, praise God, or they have had blacksmiths. If you hear people who bear Tanner, so they tan what? Leather. My mom is Rivers. But funny enough, most people from the Kalabari tribe don't bear Kalabari names. Why? Because when the British colonized Nigeria and went there, they couldn't pronounce their names. My maternal name is Tamonotonye. A white man cannot pronounce Tamonotonye. So when they Tamonotonye, he looks at you and says, no, you are Mr. Brown. So he sticks with Mr. Brown, regardless of family tradition and situations. Praise God. So we give names. Recently, last week, I saw a clip a girl did, and she was reeling out the kind of names that people give to children in this century. Some of them didn't make sense to me. Praise God. They didn't have meaning. Because a name is not something you just give to somebody because I want you to bear that name. It is a name that speaks for that person. That name speaks for that person. Praise God. I say Chimamanda, meaning your God will never fall. Praise God. I say Chinedu, my God is the one who leads me. Ngozika, the blessings of God that is greater. Praise God. So different meanings for different names. The same way with the names of God. God has so many, many powerful names as we read through the Bible. For instance, in the book of Genesis chapter 22 from verse 1 to 14, when he had asked Abraham to make a sacrifice of his only son to him, and when Abraham in faithfulness and obedience took his son out, the Lord saw that faithfulness and provided a sacrifice in place of Isaac. Praise God. At that place in the book of Genesis 22, Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh. The God, my what? My provider. After they had crossed the Red Sea, and because God had been with them, Moses in Exodus chapter 17, from verse 13 to 16, called him Jehovah, my banner. Praise God. Likewise, when we cry to him and we ask for healing, like we see in Psalm 32, let's see Psalm 30 verse 2. Psalm 30 verse 2. I cry to you, O God, for help, and you helped me and you healed me. When he heals you, is what? Jehovah Rapha. Praise God. There's so many names, but you see, in the names that we have seen, like in the examples I have given, are names that people have given to God based on situations and circumstances. Now, if we step out from situations and circumstances, there have been instances in the Bible where God had to introduce himself, not because of a situation, but to make known himself as the Almighty God. Praise God. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, Deacon Daniel touched it a bit in the morning. God introduced himself to Moses. Like most of us, when God wants to send us an assignment and he's giving you the instructions, we start getting scared. Who will I say sent me? Who is this? What should I do? That's the same thing that Moses encountered. And he introduced himself to Moses and said, I am the one who is called I am. I am, meaning in every situation, I am what? I am. I'm not a God of yesterday. I am the God of the present. I am. No matter what you see, I am. No matter what you face, I am. No matter what comes your way, I am. This is God introducing himself, not because of a nation, not because of a circumstance, but he wants us to know who he is. Now, following our theme, in the book of Isaiah chapter 43 from verse 15 to 16, God also introduced himself. He introduced himself as a way maker. Isaiah 43, I am the Lord, thus says the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. I am the way maker. So this is who I am. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Holy One of Israel, who created you. That's how he started it. In Good News Version, he said, who created you? Then he says, beyond me being your creator, I am the one who does what? Who makes a way. May the Lord make a way for you today as he introduces himself to you in the name of Jesus. So we want to understand, who is a way maker? In layman's term, who is a way maker? Simply put, he's the one that makes a way, the one that paths a way. Praise God. So imagine if they're doing, I hear they're doing Fourth Mainland Bridge after Ajak Abi. So imagine if they come and they say, we want to do Fifth Mainland Bridge. Praise God. What will they do? They will find a path for the bridge to follow. A path for the cars to ride on. Praise God. So the one who maps out that path and maintains it so that it is usable is the one who's referred to what? As a way maker. In the past, in the 16th, 17th century, the way maker is somebody who part of royalty. So he's somebody in authority. It's not anybody waking up and saying, this road, I'm going to create this road. Praise God. So if you put it together, the one who is in authority, the one who is royalty, who else can fit into a way maker other than the God of the King of Heavens? Praise God. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who is declared in Psalm 24 verse 1 to 2 that the earth and its fullness belongs to him. Meaning, he's the one that owns the earth. He's the one that owns the fullness of the heavens. Praise the Lord. He laid the foundations of the earth on the sea. So he knows the pathway, every pathway. He knows every course of life. He knows every road. He's the one that laid the foundation. Praise the Lord. Recently, I had issues with my plumbing and I come back into my house. They couldn't fix it. I had to go to a facility manager and they say, man, let's bring one of the plumbers that built the house. It didn't take the man 2 minutes. Do you understand what I'm saying? He just came and said, man, there's supposed to be a waste pipe here. Maybe when they were tiling, they covered it with cement. It didn't take 2 minutes. I had spent money with other plumbers. So you're seeking for ways and you're seeking for ways with the person who did not create the heavens and the earth. That person will waste all your time and all your money. But when you go to the way maker, the ultimate one, the almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that created the heavens and said, water, hey, stand still here. Moon, you will shine by this time to this one. Sun, this is your time. You are going to my source and you will make a way for you in the name of Jesus. A way maker, secondly, is a forerunner. Who is a forerunner? The one that goes before you to see that the path is straight, to see that everything is safe, to see that there's no danger. So God, as our forerunner, as we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 to 20, the Bible says, by two immutable things, God has sworn, praise the Lord, and by swearing, what did he do? Apart from swearing, he sent his son, Jesus. And Jesus, having experienced all these things, did what? First of all, went into the holiest of holies before us. As a what? As a forerunner. Hebrews chapter 6, 17 to 20. And Jesus, I'll read verse 20. Where Jesus has entered in advance as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of who? Melchizedek. So Jesus has gone ahead of you and I as a forerunner, meaning he has made a way for us to do what? To follow. Praise God. When we say somebody is a way maker, the person has the expertise to create things based on his capacity, based on his capability, and he can even create things that don't exist. So no other person fits into being a way maker than who? God Almighty. Imagine if I was a chef today and Sister Sophie employs me and says, I heard you are the best in Nigeria. So I'm employing you. I'll pay you $2,000 every week. But this testing you, I want to eat a foriro. I hear you can make every national dish in Nigeria. And then I'm struggling to make a list of the ingredients. I come back, I cannot make a foriro. Praise the Lord. Does it make sense? So I cannot even make a way. I can't stand. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus who makes a way. Thank God for Jesus who makes a way. He's a way maker. He's our forerunner. He has already made a way. He went through death and he conquered death. Death has no sting upon us. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So the special thing about God being a way maker is not that God is just a way. He is what? He is the way. Meaning there's no other way. There is what? No other way. There is no other way. And not only is he the way, he's also able to create ways where none does what? Exist. Media, let's see the book of Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Let's read from verse 18 to 19. Isaiah 43. 18 to 19. Anybody in the choir, if you're there, you can read for me. Isaiah 43. 18 to 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Rivers don't exist in the desert. There are no ways in the wilderness. What God is saying here is that I have the capability to do what? Does not exist. So I am the way. So him saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's only telling you that the way is not a doctrine. The way is not a belief. The way is a person. The way is a person. And that person is who? Jesus. He said, nobody cometh to the Father except through me. So if you want to find the way to the Father, you must come through who? Through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. In the same manner, he mentioned in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, that I am the way. I am the door through which every sheep can go through the narrow gate. Because the gate to hell is wide and the road that leads to it is easy. So you must go through me. Praise the Lord. So in essence, I've discovered that doing things my own way doesn't end right. I have to do it through the ways. So Jesus is the way. He is not a way. There's a finality in the way he declared it. I am the way. I am not a way. I am what? The way. Praise the Lord. And I pray that you find the way today in the name of Jesus. So as we continue, what happens when God shows a way? When God makes a way, what happens? Number one, he sends his word. He sends his word. The book of Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent his word and he healed us and rescued us from every form of destruction. He sent his word. So you ask yourself, what can a word do? How can a word deliver me? John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was who? So if God is sending his word, what does it mean? It means that God himself is coming before you to take away every destruction. God is coming before you to remove every sickness. God is going before you to remove every setback. God is going before you to remove every disease. And so shall your testimony be in the name of Jesus. You see, the word of God has the power to part, make a part. So the word of God, the Bible says, is sharper than a two-edged sword. So it comes, it pierces, it removes everything in the world. So when God sends his word, God in essence is saying, I am going to make that way for you. For somebody here this morning, God will make a way for you in the name of Jesus. Often at times, people are quick to say amen. They receive it in church and they go away. Sometimes people don't believe it. They hear it and they don't believe it. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 7, preceding verse chapter 6, there was famine in the land. In chapter 6, the king encountered a woman who said, her neighbor has said, kill your child, let's eat your child. Tomorrow we will eat mine. Because there was astute famine in the land. By chapter 7, there was no food at all. But Elijah stood by the gate that day, and there was a soldier beside him. And Elijah, standing on the authority of the word of God, said, by this time tomorrow, a bag of rice will be sold for 10 naira. Nobody is saying amen. Amen. And the soldier looked at him and said, in this land, it cannot happen. What did Elijah say to him? We hear it, but you will not see it. Did it come to pass? Yes, he did. What am I saying? When you hear the word of God, it is okay to say amen. Beyond your amen, you must grab it. You must hold it and you must run with it. That is the rhema that will bring to pass your testimonies in the name of Jesus. He says, my word is like the snow that rain that comes down from the sky and it waters the earth. My word will fulfill every counsel for which it has been spoken. So regardless of your belief or not, the word of God will not go back to him without fulfilling that counsel. So for the fulfillment to come to you, for the manifestation to come to you, you need to grab it and you need to run with it. And the Lord will bring forth your testimonies in the name of Jesus. In the book of Matthew 13, we heard about the sower. The sower carried seeds. Some fell by the pathway. The birds of the air came, fed on it. Some fell on shallow ground. They sprouted up a bit, but because it was shallow, the sun came out and they dried. Some fell on fertile ground. Do I have a fertile ground here in church this morning? If I have a fertile ground, I want the heavens to see you raise your hands and say, Father, as I receive your word, make a way for me. Father, make a way for me in a way that I cannot understand. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. So for that word to come forth as you hold it, you need two things. You need to seek holiness. You need to be consecrated unto God. You need to be dedicated to the service of God. Or else the word that you receive may be like the word that fell either by the pathway or on shallow ground. May that not be your testimony in the name of Jesus. As you say amen, I'd like you to bow your head and say, Father, let your word have the final say in my life today. Let your word have the final say in my life today. Let your word have the final say in my life today. And as your word has your final say, Lord, by your word, order my steps. Daddy, order my steps. And do not let iniquity take dominion over me in the name of Jesus. Father, as I receive your word, let your word purify me. Let it consecrate me, O God, for your purpose in the name of Jesus. As I receive your word this morning, the same way the word, O God, created fishes that did not exist for Peter. Be conceived and I believe. Daddy, let your word create opportunities for me today, oh God. Let your word make a way for me and my family. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. So when God wants to make a way, he sends his word. Number two, he makes all grace abound. He makes all grace abound. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, technical. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you. God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may do what? Abound unto every good work. So when God sends his word, what does God do? God sends, makes grace abound. This grace. Grace is divine influence. It's heaven's helping me. Heaven's helping you. God sending help when you don't deserve it. Grace abounds. It's God's benevolence to man. Praise the Lord. It's God's benevolence. Remember that example I gave you. So I got the job with Sister Sophie and I wanted to make her for Iro. But I don't have the expertise. I don't even know how to combine the ingredients. What does grace do for you? What does the grace of God do for you? You want this table, this lectern in your house. God knows the man who has the glass. God knows the man who can cut it. God knows the one who has a workshop that imports the one that has been made. God knows the one who has delivery service. What does God do? God brings together all the ingredients to make sure that this thing, like the Eforiro, is delivered to you. That is what grace. May grace abound for somebody here today in the name of Jesus. Now, when God is making a way and causing grace to abound, it is because God knows beyond you the things that you need. So you're seeing with your physical eyes the things you need. But the way maker is the one that existed before you came. So he knows the things you need today and the things you need tomorrow. He knows what your future holds and he knows the kind of things you need for your future to be successful. So in making the grace abound, he brings all together all the ingredients to give you a good success. May somebody have good success here today in the name of Jesus. It may sound like it is an easy thing to do. Imagine if you're setting out to buy a car. You want to buy a car. Everybody in your compound, you say you want to buy, which one is the most expensive now? Mercedes Benz. You want to buy Mercedes Benz 2022. The one they have the design on paper is not in the shop. You know that that's a rare car, right? So it is not also easy for you to find the spare parts anywhere. So if you're buying a rare car, it means that you need what? Spare parts that are what? That are rare. God gives you rare blessings because he's the impossibility specialist. Being the impossibility specialist and giving you rare blessings means that he has the rare spare parts. And by grace, he brings them all together to be sure that that's your rare car. Does not malfunction and keep you on the way, because it would not be a good thing. God provided the rare car as a testimony and it breaks down on the way. Is somebody following me? For somebody, your testimony will be sustained in the name of Jesus. When God makes grace abound, in one way, he may be taking you somewhere. So you're in location A, and grace relocates you to location B. For other people, God will bring that somewhere to you. Is somebody following me? Grace of God can take you from location A to location B. For another category, God will say, no, I don't want to relocate here. I will relocate the blessings to what? To you. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 16 says, the gift of a man makes room for him and bring before great men. So there's a relocation. So my gift is bringing me before what? Great men, because God has made a way. So God knows the easiest way I will follow to stand before great men. For others, God causes greatness to come to you. Isaiah 60 verse 3, he says, all nations will come to your light. Kings will come to your rising. So you are here and kings are seeking you. When Jesus was born, my Bible didn't tell me that they carried baby Jesus and they were going around looking for wise men. Wise men were traveling through the countries with gifts looking for Jesus. For somebody here, your destiny helpers, because God is making a way for you, they will seek you out and they will bless you. They will help you and they will hold you until you achieve your destiny in the name of Jesus. Every man that God has destined to hold your hand, from today will locate you in the name of Jesus. Remember what I said. God takes somebody somewhere. If you're in the category that God is taking you somewhere, God will take you safely. No man will truncate that journey. No man will stop that journey. When they sold Joseph, God was taking him somewhere. They thought they were going to stop him. They didn't know that everything was a stepping stone to his glory until he landed in the land where God was taking him to. And in a strange land, he became prime minister. You will be enthroned in that location in the name of Jesus. When God takes you somewhere, he causes grace to abound. Praise the Lord. Somebody where you're saying, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me the gift of men that will help my destiny. Father, in the name of Jesus, from today, give me the gift of men that will help my destiny. Even as you give me the gift of men, I receive the grace, oh God, the expertise to combine every ingredient required for my life to speak forth your praise. In the name of Jesus. And as you're praying, say, Father, because you have given me the gift of men, that it showcase your mightiness in my life. And you use my life as a walking signboard. When men see me, they see your glory. When men see me, they see your praise, because you make a way for me, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. In Jesus' name. The third thing God does when he makes a way, God gives you direction. God does what? Gives you direction. When he makes a way, he gives you direction. Psalm chapter 32 verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way to go. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will instruct you and I will show you the way to go. The one who makes the way is the best guide. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways to go. And thou shalt go and I will guide you with mine eye. So not only is he teaching you, he's also guiding you. Praise God. So not only is he teaching you, he's also doing what? Guiding you. When we were small, I don't know how many people have gone to a museum. They will always have a guide that will come and say, this thing was from so-so-so years. That is not in his hand. Yeah, I'm reminding him. This thing was from so-so-so. You go abroad today, they still do it. They have tour buses. They will take you around the city. And they are saying, this building was built in 1820. This is a person that lived here. Blah, blah, blah. And like that. That is a guide giving you direction of the city because you don't know your way. That is what God will do for someone in the name of Jesus. Some years ago, I was going to an offshore location for work. And I had to, that location, you had to go on a chopper, not a plane. So when I was in the chopper, unlike the plane that would throttle on the runway and then pick up speed and go, the chopper just goes straight up. Praise God. It doesn't throttle. And it wasn't my first chopper ride. I had done that several times. But on that particular day, for some reason, I was uneasy. And as I closed, I was praying. The Holy Spirit ministered something to me. He said, are you sure you trust this pilot that is going to fly this chopper? Does he know the right altitude? Does he know the right speed? Does he know the temperature? Does he know the blah? You know all the questions that they will ask to take you to where you were going. And as those questions were dropping in my heart, all I was saying, Father, please have mercy upon me today. This chopper will not crash. Because like I said, it wasn't my first ride. But for that day, I had some heaviness in my heart and that question was coming. For some of us, when God says, I will lead you, rather than you trust God What do you do? You start asking God, are you sure this is the right way? Is this way not too long? Could there be a shortcut? What if I follow this way? God is saying, trust me with all your heart. It's not about your will. It is my will. It is my purpose. The reason why I'm leading you is because I've already gone before you. And I will make every crooked path straight. I will bring the mountains down. I will make plain every mountain and every hill. And I will give you a safe landing. And that shall be your testimony in the name of Jesus. In the book of Exodus 13, the Lord led the Israelites. Now, each time I read that story, the Bible made something come out strong there. And what did he make come out strong? That when the Lord was leading them, the Lord knew that the path he was taking them through was the longest path. But scripture recorded that he said, I don't want them through the shortest path, lest they change their mind when they encounter war. For some of you, you think the road you are journeying is longer than what you want. But God does not want you to encounter war. That's why God is taking you on the long road. And as God is taking you, he's growing you, he's teaching you. He has direction. So I'm asking you this morning to trust God with your heart. And you will see God come through for you in the name of Jesus. You will see God come through for you in the name of Jesus. Now when you're following God, what happens? Not only will he lead you, he will give you good success. He led them through that long journey. He brought them before the Red Sea and the Egyptians were behind. But in the middle, God gave them good crossing. Praise God. And then God put their enemies at work. He caused the wheels of their chariots to be clogged by mud. Imagine somebody is chasing someone. You're in the middle of the sea and all you're concerned about is make I fix the tire for my moto. That's what they were doing. And the water closed up upon them. So how did the Israelites trust God? He's the one that, like I said, he's the one that created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 24, 1 to 2. And he laid the foundations of the earth on the sea. So even in the sea, he knows the volumes of the water that made up the Red Sea. He knows the sand type, all of you geologists that may want to ask. He knows the soil type. He knows their capacity. He knows the capability. His stone formation there. So he was able to speak to the water and say, you divide. You on this rock. You on this rock. For somebody here, God will make a way for you in the name of Jesus. Remember, in the book of Isaiah 43 verse 2, it didn't say, if you pass through the water. It said, when I will be with you. When? It didn't say if. So it's not conditional whether you will pass or you will not pass. There will be waters for you to pass. But God will work with you. I say to somebody, God will work with you. God will work with you. The same way he was a pillar of cloud by day leading them and blocking the enemies. He will block you from the eyes of the enemy in the name of Jesus. The Bible says he was at night giving them direction. The light of God will continually shine on your path, giving you direction in the name of Jesus. What is the fourth thing that God does? God brings hope and he takes away shame. When God makes a way, he brings hope and he takes away shame. You can study the book of John chapter 4 when you get back home. John chapter 4, the story of the woman, the Samaritan woman, who met Jesus by the well. In the first place, if I look at the way people do things today, people don't go in the afternoon to fetch water. People go in the morning to fetch water. True or false? And if you're carrying a keg of water, you want to go with your neighbor. So that as your neighbor helps you lift your own, while you're holding your own, you will help your neighbor lift her own. That woman had so much shame in her life. The Bible says she had been married to 5 husbands. And the one she was living with was not her husband. And she encountered Jesus by the well. And she was busy asking, how are you going to draw water? You don't have anything. But eventually Jesus asked him, go and call your husband. She was truthful enough to say, I don't have a husband. Some of us, the reason why the way that God has prepared for us or made for us seems to be obscure is because we even lie to ourselves. She didn't lie. She said, I don't have a husband. Pastor will want to pray for you and is asking you questions. You're busy rigmaroling, going zigzag, not going straight and telling pastor this is what it is. You're calling your lie white or calling the white one green. You're giving them the different color. The woman said, I don't have a husband. And when Jesus told her about her things and she found mercy that day, out of excitement, the person who came to fetch water forgot her clay pot and ran away to go and give testimony. I pray for somebody here today. As you encounter Jesus, may it so overwhelm you that as you go out to tell people of Jesus, it will draw men to him in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that men, the people of that town, city, heard the woman's testimony and they ran to Jesus. She didn't say this man did it. She said, I have met the Messiah. have done what? I have met the Messiah. What did the Messiah do? The Messiah took away my shame and he gave me beauty for ashes. What did the Messiah do? He took away my troubles and he gave me double for my pain. Messiah meet somebody this morning in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. What's the fifth thing he does? He fights your battles for you. He fights your battles for you. Psalm 105 verse 15a. Do not touch my anointed. If you're anointed of the Lord here, shout hallelujah. The Lord put a stem warning and said, do not touch my anointed. Do not touch my anointed. It's a stem warning. Why? Because I will ignite and activate everything within my creation to fight for my anointed. So the Lord fights your battle for you. The Lord does what? Fight your battle for you. Imagine if you're coming to my house to come and fight me. You haven't been to my house before. You may see my front door. You don't know whether I have three back doors. True or false? Now, the Lord is fighting my battle for me. The enemy is coming to my front. It is only the Lord that knows how many ways of escape that I have. No wonder scripture says for every trouble, there's a way of escape. Because the Lord that fights my battle already knows the way. So when I have escaped, the Bible says my soul have escaped. And I stand like this. What happens? The Lord starts fighting. The examples in the Bible where God has fought for his people. Numbers 26, 5 to 1, 11. The ground opened and swallowed all that defiled who? God's servants, his anointed, Moses and Aaron. Numbers 26, 5 to 11. In Joshua chapter 10, 11 to 12, the Lord caused stones to fall on the Ammonites when they were fighting Joshua. In 2 Chronicles 20, 22 to 24, when the three nations of Ammonites, Moabites, and the Edomites came against what happened, the Lord caused them to rise and fight themselves while Judah was there looking at them. Hello? Your enemy is encamped around you. You're still standing, you know, you don't know what to do. Enemy A and enemy B are fighting. D and E join themselves and they are fighting themselves. You're there and doing luku luku. Why? Because the Lord will fight for your battle for you and you will hold your peace in Jesus' name. And the way he does it in such a way that people will know that he is God. He is God. You can take down Psalm 124, 6 to 8. 21, 24, 6 to 8. Behold, you have escaped like a bird from the hunter's trap. Our help is of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Number 6, he makes you a sign and a wonder. When the Lord makes a way for you, he makes you a sign and a wonder. He makes you a sign and a wonder. In the book of John chapter 6 verse 1 to 14, the story of the boy who came with his simple lunch to come and listen to Jesus. Where Jesus is, the law of multiplication holds strongly. Praise God. And I also like the recording of that scripture in verse 6. The Bible said he threw a question to Philip, asking him, how do we feed these people? In the Amplified Version, it says in brackets, even though Jesus knew what to do. Praise God. So Jesus is turning you to a sign and a wonder, and he's asking you, if I say, come unto this water, will you come? He already knows your heart. He knows your faith. It is now left for you to yourself and say, Lord, I look unto you and nothing else. By faith, I come forth. If somebody is coming forth by faith today, the Lord will make you a sign and a wonder in the name of Jesus. That boy who went with his simple lunch, at the end of the day, had 12 hefty men carrying 12 baskets. After that, his simple lunch had fed 5,000 men. They still had 12 baskets. So imagine if it was the last food in the house that his parents gave him to go out. They have had ample supply for years and to even feed their community. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name. When God makes a way for you, he breaks every protocol for your sake. So men place protocols. But the God of heavens is the one that's saying you have placed protocols by your understanding. I am breaking, and the God of the universe. Praise the Lord. He breaks protocols and he makes a way. Number one, there was a leper in the book of Luke chapter 5. It was an abomination to touch lepers. But Jesus not only touched him, Jesus healed him and made him whole. Praise the Lord. He broke protocol for Joseph. He broke the protocol for Daniel. He broke the protocol for Ruth. He broke the protocol for Esther. From a slave, she became queen. For somebody here, you'll be enthroned on your seat of authority in the name of Jesus. He broke a protocol and gave four friends of the paralytic man. He gave them an idea to say, yes, this place is full. Break the roof and bring them here. But eventually you're sitting here and all you need is an idea to spur you in the right direction that you may have good success. I pray for you this morning. This morning, the Lord will open the windows of heaven and he will draw ideas that are not common to man to you in the name of Jesus. By the virtue of that idea you receive, men will seek you for solution. By the virtue of that idea that you have, men will seek you for solution. God will make a way for you, directing your path to the people who need it in the name of Jesus Christ. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. When God makes a way, what happened? Death flees. Death death vanishes. Death flees. Death vanishes. Praise the Lord. Beyond the physical resurrections that we have seen, Lazarus was raised from the dead. The son of the widow of Nain, her only son, was raised from the dead. Luke 17, 11 to 17. We see that the main thing that did for us after he came to earth was to die, defeat death, and then come out in victory that you and I may have eternal life. Praise Master Jesus. So in having eternal life, he became the way, because we must go through him to go to the Father. So until you come to Jesus, you do not have eternal life. Until you come to Jesus, you cannot have resurrection. Until you come to Jesus, you cannot encounter life, the way, the truth, and the life. Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 22 had this understanding. That's why he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is vain. Meaning what? A statement that he made emphasized that his desire is for Christ to be everything in him. He will proclaim the gospel like Jesus, imitate Jesus in every way, pursue the knowledge of Jesus, and join eventually in the resurrection of the saints. So it is beyond what we do today. Our ultimate goal will not be to live life to the fullest here, but to reign in glory with him in heaven. Praise the Lord. I pray that that will be a portion in the name of Jesus. Philippians 3, 10 to 10, he says, all I want to know is Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection. Not only that, but to share in his suffering and to become like him in death, and in the hope that I myself may be raised. Verse 11. And in the hope that even though a physical death here, death is only a means to an end, but I may reign in glory because I will resurrect like Jesus Christ. Praise God. When I taught Sunday school, I shared an experience with them today. A friend I was with in my house on Sunday. On Friday, he sent me an email. 15 minutes after he sent an email, I got a call that he slumped. By the time I got to his house, he was dead. His judgment has come. Praise the Lord. Yes, his judgment has come. But if he has given his life to Jesus and he knows Jesus, that death is only like a door. He just walked through a door. And he walked to a better place where there's no suffering, where there's no crying, where there's no weeping, where men will not show wickedness unto man, but where he will reign with the King of the glory in eternity. That should be your ultimate goal. That is the way that Jesus made for us. The way through which we will go and we'll go to the Father. And we have light, life everlasting. In essence, we are not Good Friday children, the day Jesus was crucified. That's only part of the journey. We are Easter morning children because we believe and we proclaim the resurrection of Christ. We believe in the life after death. That is who I am. Not for me to live here and live joyfully and then suffer in hell. No way. I'd rather suffer here and live in glory. One of my friends is late now. He said, I'd rather be a gate man in heaven than be the richest man on earth. As simple as it may sound, it has deep meaning. I'd rather be a gate man in heaven than be the richest man on earth. That is the way Jesus has made for you. Praise the Lord. Are you aware of this way? Or all you're doing is to amass wealth for yourself? If you are not aware of this way, there's an opportunity for you to come back to Jesus this morning. That way which he has made for you will not be in vain. That after everything on earth, it doesn't end here for you. But there's life after here for you. Praise the Lord. There is life. That is the ultimate goal for every Christian. That way that God has made. Have you found it? He says there's a way that seemeth right. There's a way that seemeth right. It is why people are following it. But the way of truth is the narrow path. And the voice that will lead you therein is the still voice of God. Are you hearing the still voice this morning? If you're hearing the still voice of God, I will implore you to hearken unto him this morning. And make your ways right with him. That way which he has made by conquering death may be available unto you in the name of Jesus. Quickly, what are the conditions to receive this way? Number one, you must clear your memory. You must clear your memory. Media, give me Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 19. Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Let's stop here. You must clear your memory. Remember ye not the former things. If I read back in the Bible, God has told us to bring our what? Our evidences before him. He says, bring what? Evidences. And prove me ye therefore. If I will not do what? I will not open up. Bless you. Praise the Lord. But now he's saying, remember ye not the former things. What is he saying? He says, don't think about me as the God of yesterday. Men have the ability to hold on to the past. And when you hold on to the past, what does it do? It stops you from achieving the present. And if you cannot achieve the present, you cannot move into your tomorrow. The Bible here is saying, remember ye not the things of old or the former things. Why? I don't want to obscure your mind. You need to change your mindset. You need to clear the memories of your experiences. You need to clear the memories of your encounter. Because until you clear them, see the new thing that I will do. Don't think about me as the God of yesterday, the God that parted the Red Sea. I am the God of now. Praise God. I am, meaning I was not, I will not, I am. Yesterday, today, forever, I remain the same. That is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. So I am. Do not clog your mindset with the experiences of yesterday. Praise God. I am. I what? I am. Praise God. Number two, you must know the way. Knowing the way means knowing God. You must know Jesus Christ. You must know the way that he has better for us on the cross of Calvary. Until you find that way, all you're doing is just going around in a merry-go, in a circle going around. You can take down Galatians 2:19 to 20. Galatians 2:19 to 20. That's my favorite scripture in the Bible. Galatians 2:19 to 20. It is not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Why? Because I am dead to flesh. It is the life that Jesus has given me that I live. So you must know the way. And in knowing the way means I'm saying not my will, not my purpose, but the purpose of God. Praise God. And then when you know the way, what do? You must come to him. You must come to him. John 6:37, he says, he that cometh to me, I shall in no way do what? Cast away. So clear your mindset, know the way, and come to him. And when you come to him, and you knock, and you say, Father, today I seek you. I am tired of doing things my own. Make a way for me. God will answer you, and he will make a way for you in the name of Jesus. As I said, the uniqueness of God as a way maker is not in his ability to just create ways. But it is in his ability as being the only way. As being what? The only way. God is the only way. There is no other way. Let's bow our heads as we pray. You're here in this house before we pray. You're here in this house this morning. And you want to make a decision. The Holy Spirit is ministering to you to say you have tried it your own way. Your own way is not the way. Your own way is just a way. And your own way does not take you to a successful end. But I want you to come to the way through Jesus to the Father this morning. I'd like you to see, raise your hands. Just wave your hands to God. Just raise your hand. Let heaven see you that you're indicating this morning that you're saying, Father, I am no longer going to do it my own way. I want you to lead me. I want you to lead me. You're saying, Lord, I want to clear my mindset of my experiences of yesterday. I want to know you and the joy of your salvation. I want to know the resurrection power. I want to receive life this morning. And as I come to you, I want you to lead me. As you're raising your hands, I want you to take a bold step of faith and rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Let heaven see you this morning that you're proclaiming Jesus. And as heaven is seeing you proclaiming Jesus, let the enemy identify and say, no, this one is no longer a no-go area. This one is the one that God is working for. Make a bold step of faith and come in here on the altar. Come towards me here on the altar. You're making that decision this morning. You'll say, Father, I am declaring you this morning. It's not about me, but it's about you. I am tired of doing it my way. I am tired of fighting this battle. I am tired of the struggle. I am tired of the shame. I am tired of everything surrounding me. But I want you, oh God, the way maker, to be my God. I want you to be my God, the way maker, the one that has the understanding of everything, the one whose wisdom is deeper than the deepest of all seas. I want you to fight my battle. You're making that decision. I'm making that call again. You're here in the auditorium. You can hear me, and you're raising your hand. Make a bold step of faith and come out to the front of the auditorium. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise? Let's rise as we take a couple of prayer points, Father. Let's rise. As you rise, just say, Father, thank you for your word that has come forth. Say, Lord, I thank you for your word that has come forth expressly. Thank you for your word that has come forth. Even as you're thanking God, say, Waymaker, make a way for me. Say, Waymaker, make a way for me. I have heard this morning, Lord, that you can make a way where there seems to be no way. Even when there's a way that is existing and is crooked, Lord, I have heard this morning that you can make it straight. You can make my path straight. And as you make my path straight, you shine your light on it, oh God, Jehovah. Daddy, that you may direct me. And I say, Father, make a way for me, oh God. Say, King of glory, make a way for me, oh God. Make a way for me, oh God. Make a way for me, oh God. I cannot hear you pray. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you this morning. I cannot help myself until you help me. Father, make a way for me, oh God. Make a way for me, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Say, Father, my season of victory shall not give room to defeat in the name of Jesus. Because you have made a way for me, my season of victory will not give room to defeat in the name of Jesus. I will not be defeated because you, O God, as a way maker, you are fighting my battle for me. I will not be defeated in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say, Father, because you have defeated death, make a way, you have defeated death. Let every power using the grave to imprison my destiny, let them die now in the name of Jesus. Because you made a way and defeated death, let every power using the grave to imprison my destiny, imprison my glory, imprison my breakthrough, imprison my success in the name of Jesus. Father, cause them to die now, oh God. Cause them to die now, oh God. Cause them to die now, oh God. Let every prison of hell, let every prison of the grave, Daddy, let them die now in the name of Jesus. Let them let loose, oh God, of my life, of all that belongs to me, and let them die in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, let your grace speak for me. Let your grace speak for me all the days of my life. Let grace speak for me and cause help to locate me, even in our places. Daddy, let grace speak for me and let help locate me in unusual places, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let help locate me, oh God, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Say, Father, as you make a way for me, use my life to change others. Use my life to change others. Make my life a walking billboard. Daddy, make my life a walking billboard. Use my life to change others. As you make a way for me, Lord Almighty, use my life to change others. Like the testimony of that woman by the well, I ran and said, I met the Messiah. And she caused men to come to Jesus, to trust and to accept him. Say, Father, use my life to change others. Use my life to change men. Let my light shine forth and glorify you. Let my light shine forth and draw men to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In the book of Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, he says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your heads, O you everlasting doors, and let the King of glory enter in. And the Bible says, they ask, who is the King of glory? He says, the King of glory is the one who is strong and mighty. This morning, you're going to say, mighty God, by your power and by your grace, let every gate locked against me, let them open now in the name of Jesus. I command every gate by the power in the name of Jesus Christ. That is because you're the way maker. In the power of your name, I command every gate locked against me to open now. Every gate locked against me in the name of Jesus Christ. Every gate locked against me in the name of Jesus. I command you to open. I command you to open. In the book of Acts, the Bible tells us of Peter. That gate opened on his own accord to him. Paul and Silas prayed and they praised. The prison doors opened. The chains fell off their hands. Said, Father, you are the same God of old. You did it for Paul and Silas. You did it for Peter. Lord, do it for me today. Do it for my family today. Do it for your church today. Let every gate locked against us. Let every door closed against us. Let them open in your, by your power, your name, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I don't know where you are in the life. I don't know what you're seeking. I don't know what is appearing as a setback before you. But I serve a God who breaks every protocol. I serve a God who qualifies those who calls. It's not about man saying that you don't have a master's degree or you have a PhD. When that job opportunity comes, God will create the qualification that will suit you and you will be employed. You're going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, break every protocol for my sake concerning this area of my need, concerning this area where I need your help. Father, break every protocol for my sake. Break every protocol for my sake. You are the same person who did it for Joseph. You are the same person who did it for Daniel. It was you, Lord, in the life of Esther. Father, break every protocol for my sake and grant me victory. In the name of Jesus, Father, break protocols for my sake, oh God. Pray, say, Father, break protocols for my sake this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Finally, in the book of Isaiah 43, I showed you, when God wants to do a new thing, he needs you to clear your mindset of experiences of the past so that you're not the one stopping yourself from that breakthrough. You're not the one stopping yourself from seeing the way that he has made. That's why I want you to pray this final prayer and say, Father, no matter my breakthroughs of the past, no matter my breakthroughs of yesterday, help me to remember you and look unto you as the God of the present. I am that I am. The one that is beautiful in all situations. Say, Father, no matter the experience, let me not lose focus on you. Let my eyes not be distracted from you in the name of Jesus. Daddy, let my eyes be stayed on you all my days, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, help me, oh God. Help me, oh God.